All right, Sabbath blessings, everyone. Can everybody hear me okay? Because I'm using a different setup here. Okay. All right, if you can kneel, let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence on Sabbath day. Thank you for last night when you were with us and blessed us with an understanding and the changing of the showbread even then. Thank you for changing it today as well and blessing us all throughout this Sabbath day, even after church. Please bless everyone on our prayer list, all those that were mentioned in prayer last night on the in the room and all around the world that are on the prayer list, especially those that are off the path or just outright lost. We have many loved ones and children and children's children that need to get right with you. And so we thank you for blessing them with ample opportunities, and thank you so much for your long suffering too. Because many of us give up on each other so quickly when you keep sharing your love for decades. So thank you for blessing us in that way. And please bless this gathering and bridling my tongue and any tongue that speaks so that you alone are glorified here. And again, we offer this prayer as we offer all our prayers unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior, our King, and our Lord and Creator. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. Alright. I just hope the router holds up. It kind of like crashed on me last night again, but I think it was an advanced DNS thing. I turned it off. And the reason I'm mentioning that is because, as you all know, I wasn't here Wednesday night because my router, not the one for the server, but my personal router died. And I had no internet, no printer, nothing. And this one did something strange last night. The wired end of it died, but the wireless end of it didn't. So then I knew it was a conflict with the way I configured it. And so hopefully it'll work and everything, you know, we'll be able to have church fine. All right, and I want to welcome all the new people up there. All right, and well, Courtney's not that new. But then we got Dan Yuja or whatever, and the Donnie and Johnston. There was some earlier in there today too, but and all those that are listening on the radio and on the phone. And thank you for all being here, and I hope and pray that you're blessed by what we share today, what the Lord shares today, rather. And we're on the last question. If you want to read along, you just go underneath the conference room, and we're in Lesson 27, for those of you that are new, and Lesson 27 is all about recognizing God's ownership, and a big bulk of this study, which we're just about, we're definitely going to finish this week. The bulk of it is about the tithe and how he owns it. It's not ours. He gives us 100% of the money, yeah. Whether you're rich or whether you're poor, all the money that everybody gets, no matter how much they think they're self-made millionaires or billionaires, all of it comes from God. And he commands them to actually give him back minimum 10%, you know, the tithing. The love offering is a whole different thing. We'll get into that in some other study. But still, everybody knows what the love offering is. It's anywhere from a buck to $1,000. I mean, whatever you feel the Lord is telling you to give. And it doesn't have to be literally given to the church either. A love offering could be, you know, helping out your next door neighbor who's hurting, you know, giving them something to buy food or whatever. But a tithe, that always goes to the church that you're fed spiritually, the minister that feeds you spiritually. That's where the tithe is supposed to go. And so the last question in this study is question number 34, which is obviously a longer study than most. Usually they're in around question number 30. But it says, what should we concentrate on, and what is promised? And it references Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, which Jesus himself says. Thank you, Brother Sean, for putting it in the room. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And if you notice, In the next verse, the Lord goes one step further to drive home the thought that we must seek his kingdom first, because all that is on earth is bound to be evil and troublesome anyway. He says in the next verse, take therefore no thought for the morrow. Well, we say tomorrow today, but for the morrow. For the morrow shall have the thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so the main object of our focus must be the kingdom of heaven, the righteousness of Christ. Satan knows all too well how we seek, as obedient Christians, as we are in this church family. He knows all too well how we seek the righteousness of Christ, and so he's going to dim the light as best he can on the path set before us so as to build a different path of holiness that is more focused on the things of life, you know, like a new car or a bigger home, which, of course, forces us to be more focused on our jobs and careers, just to make sure that we have the means to keep the cars and the homes as well as the other toys and the baubles placed there by the enemy. You know, as Solomon illustrated so adamantly, all is vanity. And it is here that Satan will concentrate his efforts to assure we pander to the flesh, so as to focus on tomorrow and its supposed problems instead of New Jerusalem and its eternal peace. And this is always the case here, too, in regards to how, and I've seen this in my own life, and I praise God for the lessons learned, where sometimes, let's say you have, because I was always in and out of court when I was a hood, and so I always would think the worst by the time I actually got to the courtroom. I would think all these bad things are going to happen, and when I get there, it usually isn't as bad as I imagined. Well, it's the same thing when I became a Christian. There were certain trials and situations that I had to go through, or I had to do certain things on certain dates, and I always had, this is going to be just a real problem. You know, it's just going to get real bad here, real bad. And it never really is. It never is that bad. Now, when it comes to the plagues, yeah, we're going to think it's really, really bad as we're thinking now, but it's nowhere near our imagination. It's going to be 10 times worse than what we assume, especially those of us that are going to be called to be baptized with that baptism that Christ speaks of. You know, the Gideon band that are going to go through it, it's not going to be an easy road to hoe, but we're going to go through it. We're going to make it if we are found worthy. But when we gratify the flesh, and this is not only in buying toys, it's also in receiving the praise from friends and neighbors for having the toys, or the pride and self-esteem that we even build on ourselves. I mean, like some of us, and myself included, when I was young, I couldn't walk past a mirror without falling in love. And so a lot of time, and that's the strange thing there too is, what did I have to do with how I thought I looked? You know, because a lot of times you could be ugly as all get out, and you'll think you're all that, right? Because, you know, it's just that self, you know, that pride, that self-worship, if you will. But still, having all these toys and having all these self, you know, focusing issues, the pride and self-esteem are always going to be built up to such a feverish position that we will completely forget about all the promises of God. Because just being a Christian isn't going to stop the devil from tempting you in these areas. As a matter of fact, that's where you'll focus. So how does one, you know, one come out of the world and be separate when everything it has to offer is what we clamor after? I mean, at least that's what a lot of people assume. We need to remember that all the beautiful aspects of the world, from the marvelous mountains that erupted due to the sin of Noah's day. See, this is one of the reasons I don't really care that much for travel. A lot of people get into travel. It says, you got to see this, you got to see that. Yeah, well, yeah. Like one place I'd like to visit would be Hawaii, but it's impossible for me to just drop everything and go there. And besides, I hate flying, so it's not going to happen. But the reason I would like to see it is because it's as close to paradise as you're going to get on planet Earth in regards to what it looks like. The only problem is it's all based on volcanoes. still, it is a beautiful place. And I can see this, too, as like when I'm walking in the woods. But I also see the end result of Noah's, the reason for the flood. You know, before the flood, before Adam and Eve sinned, you would never find a fading flower. You would never find a leaf falling from a tree in death. There just wasn't any death at all. And so even when I walk in my little woods behind the house here, and right now it's pretty good because a lot of, you know, the spring stuff is coming up, but then towards the end of summer, it really gets lush back there. But I still see the dead branches. You know, I still see the, you know, sometimes there could be a dead animal back there, you know. And so we need to remember that all the beautiful aspects of the world and all those amazing, especially foothills, mountains are one thing. I mean, the mountains, you know, that's hard for me to look at because now the foothills is too a reminder of Noah's day because when the great deep burst forth, and then in the course in the years of Peleg, when the Lord swelled the planet up, you had some movement of the soil. But that great oceanic ridge and all those mountains with the snow on top of them and stuff like that is the end result of that great deep bursting forth and all the continental plates sliding out of position and all that and then slamming into each other on the other ends and causing mountain ranges. And so I always see this stuff. And but still, with all that beauty, and, or even the pride of men that have built those amazing skyscrapers, you can see that too. You know, some of these things are really amazing what mankind has made. But it's all going to fall and crumble into a heap of dust and debris soon enough. So why focus on such things as Christians? We know will eventually come to an end. See, that's why I never, I mean, I've checked out, like, say, the Grand Canyon on Google Earth. I wanted to see how big that hole was. But then Google Earth doesn't even describe it because, you know, they try to do the 3D thing and it just doesn't work out. It looks stupid. But still, and why some people think that little river down there cut out all that dirt, it just doesn't make any sense. It should be a really deep hole, really close together. It wouldn't be wide open like that, unless that river was wide open like that. But it's all going to come to an end eventually. And so that's why I say I don't really get that much into travel, because I'd rather see what this planet looked like or looks like after he recreates it. Because it's going to be the way it was during the times of Adam and Eve. You know, at the end of the 1,000 years, when all, you know, the evil people and the devil and his angels all get burned up. So it's all going to come to an end. So it's no different than the lies of Satan, and all of it is temporary and will soon be no more either. You see, this is like, and this is what a lot of us have to understand too, because I've been dealing with this for 32 years, I think, about something like that. Ever since I started studying the scriptures, and then even before I left the Catholic Church, and definitely after I left the Catholic Church, I've been dealing with lies. People saying that about this, saying this about me or that about me or whatever, or just making up all sorts of lies. And one of the things I like about lies is they're so temporary. They never last. And this is what really saddens me when I see, like, some of these young teenagers getting all upset about something somebody said to them, like, on social media, and then they commit suicide or something. I mean, that's just, the stuff's eventually just going to fall to the ground. The lies, I mean, the truth always wins out. The truth is always going to be there. Lies won't be there. Eventually, the father of lies is going to die too. But even before he dies, his lies are always exposed. It's why he hates the Bible so much. This is why he's doing everything he can to stop free speech right now. You know, because he knows that light of rain is going to fall, and he knows the loud cry is going to get very, very loud. He's trying to do everything he can to get the wimpy Christians, the ones that don't really want to do what Acts chapter 5, verse 29 says, you know, obey God rather than men, because they're going to pass laws that, you know, what we preach is wrong and illegal. I mean, it's already illegal. The Bible's illegal in USA now. And if you don't believe me, walk up to a homosexual on the street with a Bible in your hand and see what happens. Even if the homosexual gets all crazy and starts pounding on you, you're the one that's going to end up in jail. So only truth in the eternal city. And down here, too. Truth never changes down here, either. It's one of the things I like about the Bible. Even if I was to read the Bible for 32 years, let's say, and all of a sudden tomorrow I backslide and I'm leave the Lord for 5 straight years, and then I come back, Bible still says what it said when I left. That never changes. And yes, some of us do have some amazing talents that we can add to all these beautiful things and blessings that can also pull the focus away from Christ and his righteousness as well. So why not simply devote them all to God, the author who gave you those talents in the first place? You know, I think of the young people with amazing talents and everything from artistry to singing, they choose rather to use those talents to glorify self so as they have that large paycheck that in turn grants them the ability to buy the toys and again pull the focus off of Christ even more so, and he's the one who gave them the talents in the first place. That's just part of the issue or problem with living in today's world, because it's pride. That's what makes this world go around. A lot of people say love makes the world go around. No, now it's pride, and it's lusting after money and lusting after each other. And they may call that love, but that's not love. You know, there's a big difference between love and lust. So only Christ and the Comforter that he promised to send us can lead us to the true happiness that we all seek. So if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the promise of a happy and peaceful heart will be yours, even in the most intense trial imaginable, because you know the truth is not going to change. Even if look what they did to Jesus. They fabricated all these lies about him. Look what happened to Pastor Craig last week. They actually brought him before the councils. I was just reading about that in Isaiah 29 this morning. They've done it to me quite a few times. I remember many years ago, the Ninth Hour Church tried to get me thrown behind bars for copyright infringement. When in fact, you know, they found out that it was all lies. All that, because the way they do this weird thing with Adventist Review, let's say, you have to have, put the source, the page number, and everything in the quote that you, and some SDA ministers are saying that I wasn't doing that. And I says, well, have at it. I'm not changing anything. So sure enough, their authorities, if you will, went online and started looking around, and no, he sourced out everything. In other words, I don't claim any of this stuff is my words. It's their words. And then what you saw with Craig last week. But still you have that perfect peace during this. Because they did this to our Lord. That illegal court with those false witnesses that came forward that declared that he did certain things or said certain things, and they took all of that he said out of context. We all know it was false. Just like they do it today. So don't let this stuff bother you. Even if it's an intense trial, because they can be very intense. It's eventually, the truth is eventually going to come out. This is why I'm now starting to talk with some of my siblings, as a matter of fact. You know, 30 years later, they realize this ain't no phase I'm going through. I guess it took them 30 years, but without the peace, without that peace of Christ, the Gideon band would be just as weak as the lukewarm babe that has his seeds tossed on rocky soil. So again, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are going to be added on to you. Nothing to worry about. So let's go to lesson number 28. And this first question, well, lesson 28, well, here, let me put the link. Thank you. Thanks, James. If you want to read along, click the link that James just put in the room there, and that'll bring you to the next lesson, and it's titled God's Special People. Question number one is, it says, is God responsible for religious confusion? You know, I did something the other day in regards to, I was thinking about doing a sermon to some extent on this, on how, you know, because people ask me, how do I know for a fact that I am in the true church? That this truly is the true church of Jesus Christ. And so I'm thinking about doing a sermon on this, but I might just do a really quick video on it or something, because it may not be sermon worthy because it's just too short. It's just too easy to explain. I mean, you know, I always thought, first off, like I was sharing the other day, that there are 44 denominations out there, but I found out actually in the encyclopedia that was created in 2001, no less, that lists 33,000 denominations on planet Earth right now, and I actually have it's on apologetics. It's Philaz or philvaz.com or something like that. So, I hit the mic. Sorry about that. It's going to be in the recording, by the way. So, how did they all get here? How did all these denominations get here out of one true one? Well, you got to notice how they all started. With the exception of four denominations, and I will share who they are before I end all this, like I said the other day, all 32,996 denominations were formed because the leaders in those churches refused to do as Jesus said to do on one or more points. For example, some Baptist leaders decided one day that they didn't like the fact that you could actually lose your salvation. So they created the once saved, always saved doctrine and started that denomination. Catholics didn't like the idea that the Sabbath was the seventh day, as well as many other Christian truths, because it went away their, it rubbed them the wrong way in regards to their pagan desires. And so they started their Catholic denomination. The Methodists, the Calvinists, the Presbyterians, and others didn't like doctrines like hellfire, investigated judgment, or how the second coming goes down. And so they invented eternal life and fire, judgment day, at the end of it all, and of course a seven-year trib, or even a secret rapture. So my point is, all these tens of thousands of denominations out there that refused to do as Jesus said to do, and so they left and they started a church that made their false doctrines appear as truth. But there are four that didn't do it that way. They didn't create a new church to allow for sin, but to stop sin. If 100 people walked up to me one day that all appeared to believe the exact same way that I did, but after studying and worshiping together for some time, I discovered 50 out of the 100 were having issues in dress reform or dietary laws or jewelry or other areas, we would have a study with them, of course, right? We got to do that. And after sharing the facts, out of the 50, 45 of them would agree and everything would be great and we'd be all in one accord and the latter rain would fall, of course. But five would refuse to follow the Bible because even though they know it is true and they can't refute it, they claim they are not convicted yet and so they walk away. That is how the new denominations always started. So as for the four, we got the early Christian church started to do as Jesus taught because it was exposing sin. They didn't want to have anything to do with what the synagogues were doing. Right? And then Martin Luther was moved in the sixth hour. He moved millions out of the Roman Catholic Church to stop sin as well. And then in the ninth hour, the Seventh-day Adventist Church did the exact same thing. They even went a little bit further and said, look, we got to start keeping the law. That was never changed. So that's why you started getting Sabbath-keeping people, just like the prophecy said you would, at the ninth hour, when the end days began. But then they got all messed up. And now you have us. We, under guidance of Jesus Christ himself, the head of our church, were moved to start the Seventh-day Remnant Church because of the sins in the SDA church we cannot agree with. And so that's how these denominations get started. And that's how I tell people. This is how we do it. But the answer to the question, is God responsible? And I might go over a little bit on this. Is God responsible for religious confusion? Well, look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. Thanks again, Sean. It says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. And by the way, saints doesn't mean you have to be dead to be one. You got to be a saint before you die. You don't automatically get tagged a saint after you died. Well, that, unless you're Roman Catholic, but then, of course, that's not a heavenly saint. That's a pagan saint. And this is why I love reading his word each and every day. The truth it contains is found echoed cover to cover. Even though the majority of the prophets never met each other or even lived in the same century, what they proclaimed was the same truth throughout all the ages. It never changed, ever. Jesus truly is the Rock of Ages because that which he shared with the prophets of old holds true to this age. So he is the Rock of Ages. No confusion there. What we see in the Old Testament regarding his law is still confirmed as eternal in the New Testament as well. We got plenty of Bible verses to back it up, but if you go to a Sunday-keeping church or a seven-year trib church or a secret rapture church, those verses will never be spoken from those pulpits. And that's why we formed our church. We want to do what the Bible says, not what they say, because like it was in the days of Noah, that's how everybody else drowned. Sure, there are people out there that say otherwise, but it's only because they worship the god of confusion. That being, of course, Babylon. So if you're a student of the Bible, you know Jesus and the apostles used the Old Testament to preach when the New Testament was written, and you also know we adhere to the same truths as was taught by both books. Some people think the Old Testament is done away with because mankind gave it the name Old Testament. But if it was to be done away with, then how come that's the only book that Jesus and the apostles preached from? That's the Bible they had at that time. And it's still valid today. Yeah, there are certain ordinances that were dropped off, as Colossians chapter 2 goes into detail about. But that was prophesied to happen that way. So the Old Testament still stands firm. It's got rock-hard prophecy in it. This even includes, I don't want to get into all that because I really go over. But yes, the ordinances were abolished at the cross when our precious Savior declared it is finished in John 19:30. And then he declared it was abolished in Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. So, but that act alone confirms the Old Testament valid as it spoke of the ordinances as being one day finished when the Messiah would finally arrive. So, but looking at Babylon, or Roman Catholicism, as we all know and call it, and all her obedient sisters in all the so-called Protestant churches, and this includes the Ninth Hour Church now, because that was prophesied. Seven churches, four movements, not going to get around what was written unless you get a big old eraser, but if you start erasing things out of the Bible, I'll buy you a new one and hand it to you. Says, look, that stuff you erased is still there. We have ample evidence that confusion does reign in all these churches. For a quick example of how confused their dying God is, notice just a few points regarding their doctrines and the doctrine of the Lord. They, all the other churches, say Sunday is the Sabbath, even though there's not a single verse to back it up. And many Old and New Testament passages to declare Sabbath to be sundown Friday, to, sundown Saturday, can't be changed. Even after the cross of Christ in the book of Hebrews, it talks about the seventh-day Sabbath. But again, those verses will never be spoken from Sunday-keeping pastors, ever. They say homosexual marriage and lifestyle itself is now acceptable to God somehow, even though the Old and New Testament truths declare it to be still an abomination. But like the prophecy said, what they call good is now evil, and what they call evil has always been good. They say Allah is God, yet both the Old and New Testament describes God that we worship as one that does not condone the rape of women or children, nor does he approve of killing his own people. So Allah can't be the same God, even though they are saying it. The Ninth Hour Church even goes so far as to say not only is Allah God, but the Quran has the same truths as the Holy Bible. I have them saying that on video. They all declare pagan festivals are blessed of God. That's everything from Christmas to Easter. When the Word of God declares clearly we should never embrace the false gods and rituals of the wicked people that he destroyed before we got there. It's right there in Deuteronomy. He says, when you walk into these areas that I have removed these people, don't see, try to figure out how they worship their false gods and say, we will do likewise. No, he said, don't. I've given you plenty of instructions on how to worship me in my Bible. And just one more out of many. They all claim women can be ordained as pastors, and this includes the Ninth Hour Church now. As a matter of fact, they got a conference president as a woman. So they all say that women can be ordained as pastors when the Old and New Testament confirmed that only men can stand behind the desk as pastors. This is not the description of the Christian God, but it is the description of the dying God we know as Beelzebub, and he's the author of confusion. Our God, on the other hand, is not an author of confusion. He's an author of peace and love, and his truth never changes, as in all the churches of the saints. Like it said right there in 1 Corinthians 14:33, and I hope and pray that you are blessed. I'll be back in a minute.